of California at Berkeley, the State University of Iowa, and the University of Oregon, which is where I met him. He is now teaching at Southern Oregon College in Ashland, Oregon. Is married with two sons. His first book of poetry, Before the War, was published in 1971 by William Morrow and Company, and he is represented with two other Northwest poets in an anthology called Three Northwest Poets. The other poets are Albert Drake and Douglas Lauder. And his poetry has appeared in many magazines around the country, including the Chicago Review, Evergreen Review, Kayak, and Northwest Review. Of his poems, I'll say that I think they're exciting, and they deal with themes of irony, despair, and love. Will you welcome Lawson Fusau Inada?
Thanks very much, Bill. As a poet, I feel it's my duty to reach you in some way, person to person, in the most effective way that I can. Hoping to share with you the experiences that I've had, things I've learned, where I hope to be, with the eventual aim of bringing about a greater understanding between us. Also of particular importance to me is the creation and discovery of Asian American culture. And I feel this is another obligation of mine, is to share with you what we call the Asian American experience, and also to attempt to record that particular history for ourselves and for you. But this sense of obligation on that particular level comes from the fact that because of various sociological reasons, there are very few Asian Americans today, writing and speaking. And this, in the throes of our entire movement in this country, of not only the youth speaking out, but all the various ethnic groups attaining some position, telling it like it is. So this will be my position in coming to you tonight. Where I'm from is Fresno, California, a rather nondescript place, or a place that really isn't too different from any place else, not very different from here, from what I've seen of this might be. And one thing it seems that places like this have in common is the fact that you always have your groupings of people, perhaps belying the fact that rather than a melting pot existing in our country, we have more like a piece of pie cut in different pieces. And where I'm from especially is a place that has a set of railroad tracks down the middle, which very conveniently break it in half. And of course, if you are one type, you have to live on this particular side of town. So where I'm from, people call the ghetto, now they've jazzed it up and say, well, it's the third world community. It's the same thing. You can stand there and what do you see? Catch the skyline, baby. Security. Townhouse. PG and E. Know what I mean? That's Widerama, baby. The big, wide screen. Something holds it in place. Something keeps it from exploding. Otherwise, it would be all wars rolled into one. Mexicans punctured on chopsticks. Blacks gagging on crucifixes. Curses croaking in broken English. But wait. That's why the railroad snakes through the town like a fence. That's why they toss in a few wigs and gray suits and sit and wait. Purple, the grape. Purple, the mind aged in wine. Purple, the vine wine cannot puncture. Purple, the face burning on trays of new, empty lots of purple urban renewal. A sun never sets on the Mexican section. Sunset. Big street lights keep them awake, out of trouble, fingering the hose of Mexican Gulf. Mexicans commute to find trouble. They sing, they cut. At wrestling arenas, Mexicans beat the bad Japanese. Mexicans are fun. The sun never sets on the Mexican section. It never comes up. Jericho's a citadel, slab of plaster by the black villas, by the slaughterhouse, by the city dump. Police dogs keep vigil, sniffing out white men, a minstrel cop. Upstairs, slabs on the racks. You can stab them and giggle. You can get in and wiggle. Downstairs, the dice's mammy grin. The jukebox squeaks the blues drunk on a funky harmonica. Blackies stay happy. Mornings when black garbage men come, they play buckets like drums. Sometimes a black fetus dances out in the gutter with the ribs. Come on over and wail. Jericho, slaughterhouse, dump. I always thought a Okie was a white man gone fake, play acting, a spy. Now I know Okies are okay. They dig music, they cut each other up. Armenians are screwed up. I mean, they won't move to the west side. They're known as the Fresno Jews. They're screwed up. I mean, they shave names and noses and herd hairy Mustangs to school. You know about the sound barrier. Well, don't you know? Willie broke the color barrier, screaming through White Town with a white girl at 95 per. After the funeral, his Cadillac hubcaps flew over in formation in tribute. Filipinos are sharp. That's why they're barbers. Sharp trousers, sharp elevator shoes. When they see white girls, they go, sook, 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 sook. Ching chong Chinaman sitting on a fence trying to make a dollar. Chop, chop all day. Education, education, that's what they say. When the war came, they said, we Chinese.
When we went away, they made sukiyaki, saying, yellow, all same. When the war closed, they stoned the Japs' homes. Grandma would say, marry a Mexican, a nigger, just don't marry no Chinese. Japs are great imitators. They stole the Greeks' skewers, used them on themselves. Their sutras are face and hide. They hate everyone else on the sly. They play Dr. Charlie's games, bowling, raking, growing forks on lapels. Their tongues are yellow with R's, with L's. They hate themselves on the sly. I used to be Japanese. So much for that kind of a background, and you take someone coming out of that sort of a scene and if you're really one for adventure, you might end up someplace in the Midwest in the snow, which is where my book begins, with the character plucking out a rhythm, is the name of the poem. Start with a simple room, a dullish color. Draw the one shade down, hot plate, bed, little phonograph in a corner. Put in a single figure, medium height and weight, but oversized as a child might. The features must be Japanese. Then stack a black pompadour on and let the eyes slide behind a night of glass. The figure is in disguise. Slim green suit for posturing on a bandstand. The turned up shoes of Harlem. Then start the music playing. Thick jazz, strong jazz. And notice that the figure comes to life, sweating, growling over an imaginary bass, plucking out a rhythm as the music rises and the room is full, exuding with that rhythm. Then have the shade flap up and daylight catch him frozen in that pose as it starts to snow, thick snow, strong snow, blowing in the window while the music quiets, the room is slowly covered, and the figure is completely out of sight. One thing you can do is remember. A common phrase in our vocabulary is before the war. And maybe if you're about my age, that means something to you. Before the war. And of course, my people are constantly making references to that. You know, it's like BC or something. And you can remember how it was, perhaps, before the war, during the war, if you can remember, try to remember. Even as a child, you know, certain things come home to you, even though you don't realize the entire magnitude of what's actually happening. You can remember, perhaps, seeing a rat get squashed in the swamps, in the mud, in Arkansas. One of the things you do if you are incarcerated in the desert of southern Colorado, for fun, the soldiers take you out to their practice range, and they allow you to go and dig out the slugs that they shoot into the dunes, which as a child, of course, you would highly prize. They also shoot other things. Some things you might watch your people doing is strange way that people have for eking out survival in any situation. You find them creating beauty in the desert, gathering bits of wood, creating some kind of garden out of this, maybe using a couple of artillery shells, putting a little tortoise into this. Things happen to tortoises too. Or perhaps if you're lucky, someone is clever enough to make a trap, and you trap a pheasant, and you get that pheasant, set those rations aside, and you cook that pheasant like in the old days. In the meantime, people let you know your uncles are going off to war to fight the enemy. Or your father, who's deaf in one ear, also a dentist, doesn't do anything but drive you to a butcher truck where you see creatures being slaughtered. One of your friends maybe is an older kid about eight who isn't too swift in the head, but he knows how to deal cruelty to other creatures. You might notice also and remember that in 1944, your dad went off to Chicago to work. And what you remember about what he told you about that experience. So this sequence is called From Our Album. Before the war means Fresno, a hedged-in house, two dogs in the family. Blackie, the small one, mine, lapped at his insides on the floorboard on the way to the doctor. Jimmy, my father's shepherd, wouldn't eat after the evacuation. He wouldn't live with another master and pined away skin and bone. With feelings more than pride, we call him our one-man dog. Mud in the barracks, a muddy room, a chamber pot. Mud in the moats around each barracks group. Mud on the shoes trudging to the mess hall. Mud in the swamp where the men chopped wood. Mud on the guts under a loaded wagon, crushed in the mud by the wheel. Because there was little else to do, they led us to the artillery range for shells, all that we gathered, and let us dig among dunes for slugs when they were through. Because there was little else to do, one of them chased a stray with his tail between his legs and shot him through the head. A desert tortoise, something mute and hard, something to decorate a desert Japanese garden, gnarled wood, smooth artillery shells for a border. When a guard smashes one, the shell cracks open and the muscles ooze. The pheasant is an oriental creature, so it is only natural that one should fly into camp and, famished by rations and cans, break out in secret native dance over a fire on a black coal stove. Song of the 442nd Battalion. Caged creatures have curious moods. Some of them choose to be turned loose in a group to take their chances in the open. Because a dentist logically drives a butcher truck, I rode with my father to the slaughterhouse in an afternoon. Not hammers, not bullets could make him close his eyes. He jerks the eyes from birds, feet from lizards, and punishes ants with the gaze of a glass. And with his sly gaze, his child's face, he teaches what has its place and must be passed on to others. When the threat lessened, when we became tame, my father and friends took a train to Chicago for factory work, for packaging bolts. One grew a mustache and called himself Carlos. And they all made a home with those of their own, rats, bedbugs, blacks. Different things happen to you. Perhaps you might move to the East Coast, find love, which, of course, what else is there? This is called Images of a Day Congealed. Nothing eventful. From noon, waking and the warm cocoa warming us within, sweet, you across your kitchen table in your checked red duster and your dark hair down. Chickadees on the feeder, sleeker with the snow gone, clearing the meadow, the new colors coming in. And what an awareness of trees, their fists of leafings as we watched white islands skimming toward the sea. At dusk, casual couples pirouetted where drifts had been, sharing remnants of the sun and that white ball floating high above the nets in quiet lobbings, softly and softly, as a white ball came the April moon. Then we were home again, tuning the radio in a game across the continent, night, melancholy from Fort Wayne. Sleepily, fading in and out with the radio, you remembered that drive some time ago, unable to say exactly why we were driving, except that it was also spring and a corrugated hut in a high country clearing caught our eye, and we noted it for remembering. Nothing eventful since then. Nothing eventful today. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Things go on. Specifically what happened to me, I moved back to the West, this time moving up into the Northwest. Things go on. There's a new war going on. I don't know which one it was, which one it is. They're all about the same. Turn on the TV. You might see what I saw. It's called Bandstand. The focus is youth. Casual stances on the ballroom floor. The boys are smooth. The girls stick out all over. Every mother's son calls the tune and bodies snap into action, slanting the best angles to the camera. They have been carefully screened. Outside the dusk on Philadelphia, meanwhile, they reach their peak, doing the hitchhiker on national TV, standing in place, thumbing a ride. One of them, of course, is Richard Speck. He's in the corner of your screen, having a blast, dancing his ass off with a tease little trick. He got here early, stashed his Mustang in the alley. He'll probably get tagged, but who cares? He's got a part-time gig. She finally accepted. He's on the scene. Then it's time for an ad, some huge tube oozing out of itself. An old Dickie, cool, gum-popping Dickie, struts it into the men's room for a smoke, to contemplate a pimple, to ponder whether to get a new tattoo or join the merchant marines for kicks. Then he makes it on out to join the music. Countries of war. It must be like being postmaster living in a country of war. The mail comes in, addressee unknown, the dead, more dead. When your father dies, you hide behind the parcels and cry. Your brothers go one by one, canceled. Your son is torn open and scattered, first limbs and eye. Do you know this life? When were you born? I have always been postmaster. Buy stamps. A student came to see me one time, kind of a hollow look in his eyes, and was telling me about this composition he's writing for me about when he went to R&R in Bangkok. So I wrote about it, because he's telling me with this look in his eyes, and at the same time, this is about, you know, when the Haight-Ashbury and all the wild dancing was coming on, you know, with the lights and stuff, and for some reason he's talking, and I remember he was mentioning his watch and traded it on a chick and stuff, and the room, you know, hit the watch band and it was lights, and it was the strangest ballroom I've ever been in. R&R in Bangkok. Something about the eyes going over my shoulders up the slow rise of grass and giving back something instead called R&R in Bangkok. Buying without shopping much, bargaining by pain the duration, rubbing yourself numb on it, washboard that does not wash, same old song and trance, sick kid, sick something, finally finding a thin, hipped, thin, titted child beside you on a reeking beach, sick, tired, trading it on a watch, watching the city reel from a drunken pagoda, sick, flying back to the same sort of patrol. All that in these eyes, reciting what is to be told as the afternoon crashes off a watch band, bringing ballrooms to these simple walls in which there is no crying, no laughing, no music, no dancing. People use the term getting it together. This happens sometimes, probably for many people, by reaching back in some affirmative way and grabbing hold of your roots, whatever you've been exposed to, whatever is meaningful to you. The book ends on the poem, The Great Bassist, which is dedicated to Charles Mingus, who is a great bassist. I am the great bassist. Music, life are one. And it is fine. It wasn't always that way. When I was young, music plugged my veins and wouldn't run. I bought a bass and practiced. Nothing would come, wire lanced the flesh only, that ache inside, unletting. Lacerations of a master's whip cutting down through the calluses, society in the cracks like salt and pepper. Then bass was woman, I her master. She was black, Africa's shape, misshapen. We made love like hate. We bled all over each other. I plucked her guts until we almost died. One night, I saw a light shouldering the horizon, a light we made. It accompanied us. And when the blues came down like rain, we played away the rain, and love fell into place like syllogisms. The best of nights, we made sea rhythm, pulse of wave strength, lapping sand, moon and earth, each of the other. We strummed telephone wires in a cold field, music like blood rushing, blood of all peoples humming, rushing. I am in Levi's now. That doesn't matter. And when I walk the streets, wind flattens my beard and I look tired, tattered. That doesn't matter. But I need your love. We need each other. So when I come down your street with my great bass, toss us your love. We'll play you love pedals. Love us back. If you don't, we'll kill you. All of you. We will. I'm going to conclude with a series of recent things, hoping that you will have my book in the privacy of your room at 3 o'clock in the morning where you can really check it out. All right? You know how it should sound now. You can just fill in the rest of the tunes. This series of poems deals with where I've been living for the last couple of years, as Bill mentioned, in southern Oregon, just over the border from my home state. And as with anywhere you go, strange things transpire. Around the time of Kent State, I'm sure strange things transpired around here even, and maybe even in Phoenix. In the time that has elapsed since then, many of us have since gotten our feet on the ground and maybe are becoming a little more realistic about things. But at that time, it was a beautiful thing, at least for me and for others that I was closest with where I live. It was something else. It was something else. A lot of this something else feeling was dispelled a couple of weeks after that when the Jackson State thing came down and we tried to raise up a group of students and couldn't get any kind of support. It was like everything was over. The impetus was gone. All the problems were gone, you know. And this was after myself and a group of other so-called minority peoples had joined in on the march, largely of our own volition, even though we realized it was rather dangerous, you know. Because when the stuff comes down and the rifles come out, who makes the easiest target? You know what I mean. But anyway, at this particular time, it was beautiful. I think underneath all this, though, there's a current going that is still extremely important. So what happened was, in our particular area, we had a march. And that area, I don't know what it's like around here. This is probably super liberal country. In our area, Our area it happens to be the center of the committee, you know, for the preservations for your right to keep and bear arms. Everybody's got a pickup. Everybody's got a rifle rack and a pickup, and everybody's got rifles in the pickup. You know what I mean? And nevertheless, though, the whole student body joined in, so there was a march of maybe 700 people marching through town with candles in silence. And it's the first and last time I've done that, and what else can I do? Well, I can read you about what happened. It was an all-night vigil. We tried to bring the flag down. Rifles came out, the flag went up. There was an all-night vigil, a lot of singing and stuff on the lawn of the campus, which slopes down onto highway, across the highway. It was Dottie's Place. Dottie's Place, there's a lot of antennas up there. It's an all-night coffee shop for truckers, and there's rifles up there. What happens in the poem, of course, towards the end, happened to a certain extent, maybe not as flashy as it happens here, but maybe it's something that's still happening. One thing I also want to mention is, I mentioned Bud Powell here. Bud Powell is a great pianist who died in the late 60s, but he had been having mental problems since the 50s. Absolutely brilliant, brilliant pianist, fantastic. People like that die, no one knows about it. But this was happening, you know, about this time when I got a record, a new release cut by Bud Powell, which kind of brought me out of wherever I was. And this is where I get most of my energy, anyway, it is from this music. It's called Making a Living. Daylight. I didn't know I was sleeping, lost in a drift of guitars and traffic. The baby needs changing, so I give him my keys for a plaything as Janet fastens him under a blanket. Dew on the grass. Miles can't find his shoes, and when he does, they're damp, and his socks need changing. We gathered last night after a march with silence and candles, 700 strong, the wax disfiguring our fingers. 700 strong, the figures keep changing. 2 weeks ago, 100 held up traffic and business as usual. 2 years ago, an even dozen matched the brunt of a carton of eggs. Everyone's hungry. We break bread and clean our teeth with the crust. We're not prepared, but we're ready. The custodian comes, fastening the flag in his uniform. This brings us to our feet and the people from Dottie's out. They've been keeping their vigil, cussing us out, crouching among the crosshair antennas. They say the flag must stay up. Lower it again, and they'll kill us. The flag catches wind, then dies. All night, the wind kept hitting the mast and cable, and they clunked like a broken bell. These past few years, things have really been spinning. Those space shots hooked us to the moon and doubled our orbit. Even at home, I still feel the spin. And when I tip in to the children's room, they spin out of their blankets in a shower of sparks. Lately, my classrooms have been invaded with the news. Projectionists cut the light in the middle of lectures and splash on oil spills, blood spills. My face becomes the screen. What am I teaching? I never joined their movements because I couldn't stand the people. A mass of dungarees and tresses. Who'd be most visible? Next year, I'd say, next year in our own movement. Who is it killing niggers and gooks? Last night scared the hell out of me. It was beautiful. With all those threatening calls, we expected violence as usual and came out in the rain prepared to squat down and cry. Children kept the inner lane, but even those went lethal where the cross streets darkened. Perhaps it was our size, our children. Perhaps it was a new set of rules. Beat us and you lose. Perhaps it was the march conspiring in the others, tugging at their bowels to join us. But as we passed through their darkness, their cries seemed pleas for another order. Help me, goddammit, help me. I don't understand. Help me, goddammit, just try it, please. And after gathering at the flagpole, after songs I'd never sung, a spontaneous shudder spun among us, and it was love sweeping us up, a mass of dungarees and tresses hugging and dancing on the grass. I would have run. This march was as much my idea as anyone else's. I was only half serious. I knew they wouldn't do it. I knew it couldn't be done. I had been waiting for a leader. I had been waiting for my movement. As soon as our words were out, we all had on armbands and badges. The march was on. We set up headquarters on the campus lawn, a couple of old tents and a table. For an instant, I saw my people as they slumped off to camp. Then wind and all those lives blew that away. I mobilized. Breakfast is over. We rise for a song. I hum along. But in the midst of these singings was a record in the mail yesterday by Bud Powell, cut in Europe in 1962. Killed in the 50s, died in the 60s, all that swift, brittle bop plucked out of him in jagged clusters. It takes the mind away. Though his was gone, each song said something. That's right, I'm black and I'm crazy. What time is it? Ever hear the keys cackle? I play straight-jacketed, upside down, in a rest home in Willow Grove. Richie just died, my sweet little brother, along with brilliant Clifford. I weep with a fist. Got to, I'm strapped to the piano. Check out the left hand tugging at the knot. Got to, check it out, yeah. Fuck it, I'm the king of Paris. Thelonious who? There's cracks in this piano. Fuck you. I'm dying now in this place you call America, baby. What time is it? Listen. White keys sharp as knives? That done fucking with my fingers. Look for them under a stoop in Brooklyn. And yet this record finds his fingers fast again, out of hand, boosted out there by the beat of a 15-year-old Swedish bassist. 15-year-old Swedish bassist busting with Bud into all those heavy tunes. A 15-year-old kid. Bud is back, I cried. Bud is back, baby. Bud is back, and he's beautiful. And I sat there weeping between mobilization meetings, needing to share with them, needing to give them the word. The march is starting. We're singing together. The march is starting. Our music must be heard. Now, as we move out into the street, we break ranks and reach into the community. Our own communities and start teaching. Beads, flowers, freedom, happiness. We move in many ways. We use the democratic process. Beads, flowers, freedom, happiness. We see the ways of detonation. We see the ways of corporation. Beads, flowers, freedom, happiness. The boundaries are down. Will you kill your brother? Beads, flowers, freedom, happiness. Will anyone step forward for induction? Beads, flowers, freedom, happiness. Put us in jail, put us in camps, beads, flowers, freedom, happiness. We spread out over passes, riding sitars and harmonicas, beads, flowers, freedom, happiness. A mule-drawn cart starts a black march through Georgia, beads, flowers, freedom, happiness. A yellow snake dance uncoils in Kyoto, beads, flowers, freedom, happiness. The boundaries are down. Will you kill your brother? Beads, flowers, freedom, happiness. The children across the street with a father in Vietnam. Listen to them. Beads, flowers, freedom, happiness. My children join the chant. Beads, flowers, freedom, happiness. Can anyone silence that? Okay, ready? Here we go. And we stand on both sides of the contraption, like horses about to grind corn, but peering through blinders at each other. Both of us about the same age, but him thinking I'm some kind of young punk, a yellow hippie, and me keeping an eye on the old fat captain, close cropped and on furlough. Baggy Bermudas, white socks over military shoes. His little pink girl in a sunsuit, and my toady with a red tint to his hair, lovely enough to be taken for a girl. But they're ready on the merry-go bench that screams attention as we shove off, each keeping our own side and the effort down, shoving with all our cool to keep it going. And more kids want on, and they're really checking me out, bristling a light sweat, screaming attention. So we hit the swings, where a pomade guy with eagles on his arms parks his miniature self. Keep your feet up, Donnie. Keep your feet up. So we drift off by the creek where kids whisper on the water and let my senses unfocus, Toady keeping by me like my shade's a leash. He's a shy one, and I gotta watch him. Young chicks cutting by with t-shirts and nipples beneath like Mickey Mouse, stiff and inside out. Dudes in shorts, tans, tight ribs like something to strum. Cool gated like they just been toking up in the bushes. Wish I was young, says the captain who snuck up, nudging my shadow as his girl grins at Toady from the sandbox. So we go down over the lawn to the duck pond, the fountain spouting about itself. Two swans tired of crumbs and nipping at the corrective kicks of ladies vacationing with Shakespeare. And squat on a rock, run through some changes on the bass, like Percy Heath. Until some kids bust up the session with guitars and frisbees, and two chicks give stale bread to Toady, green bread for green ducks, who are fool anyway, just want to spit the stuff up to keep others from getting it. But one of the chicks got on cute perfume and a smile, so this makes me smile. So Toady's leading me around a pond where the trail takes off up the hill, and pretty soon we're way up on a steep side. And I'm keeping an eye out for poison oak, whatever it looks like. And trying to stay on a thin trail and watch out for snakes. There's a rattlesnake in the yard. And maybe that's where it started to continue this morning. Janet come running in, locking doors and the kids in. He's a small one, but I saw his head. He's got the markings. And I put on my boots, thinking, if I don't get him, how the hell will our yard be safe for the kids out here in this country? And if I see him, will a hole be enough? Or will it give me just a scratch which will make me sick enough or even die? We're leaving for Missouri in 5 days. And I creep out watching each step slowly and finally see him stretched out about 2 feet long under the clothesline. And raise the hoe. And though the grass is long, can see his markings. But notice no diamond head and no rattles. And just about cry out, gopher snake. And do tell the kids and Jan to come out and see our friend who eats mice and gophers. And who hears the fuss and goes under the house harmless. And I just about cry and do hug my wife and kids. And so there's no snakes on this trail. But it's steep and sandy and slippery, dry grass. And when we come to those spots where bigger kids slide down, we have to creep and jump over them and risk slipping all the way down and getting scraped. And Toadie's leading the way and doesn't want my hand and help. And I'm scared for him keeping up steep hillside cliffs until we come to a clearing where a structure was. But there's just a foundation and steps going down. And even though there's a landing midway, it's still steep and no railing, and I feel like a dream where I'm on an Aztec temple, sweaty and scared over 100 steps, and finally turn tail and crawl down backwards. But this time, grab Toadie's hand, and he leads me frontward, slowly back to Creekside, where a cameraed guy pushing a stroller checks me out like I'm going to cop his kid. But I'm so damn glad to get down, smile and nod, and we head downstream tossing rocks in the water until we're back at the playground. And this time on the merry-go-round, the cameraed guy puts his little girl along with Toadie, and the other kids come for the ride, and then we really get things spinning. The kids are cracking up as we dash around in circles and get dizzy, and I spin off and fall down laughing, and the kids jump off and on me and wear bare spots on me, and my chin sprouts grass and my feet are rocks, and kids dabble their feet off of them into the stream, and teenagers sprawl on my stomach and pop open cans and play radios. And Toadie runs up the steep bridge of my nose and over my forehead and disappears big and grown and strong through the widening path in my hair.
Oh, you like those kind of things, eh? I'll conclude with a series that I read recently at a session we had in Berkeley at the university there. It was a poetry reading gathering together a group of Asian American poets, and it was the first time something like this has happened on the West Coast. And so to commemorate that occasion, I wrote something, and I thought perhaps it might be meaningful to you too. What it was based on was the current feeling that, you know, we've messed up, you know, that all this military industrial complex, et cetera, is kind of messing things up, you know, and you know where all that comes from, too. And so, since this reading was for poetry of the new Asian nation, it got me thinking, well, perhaps if we had been the ones who came over here, it might have been different. And I envisioned history as it might have been, in which the Asians came over here and with all that wisdom landed on the West Coast and then met up, of course, with their long-lost brothers, the red man, and lived in harmony and peace with the red man, you know, realizing, you know, the factors of ecology, etc., and linked up with the other brothers, you know, those brothers that have become so important in American culture today that everybody's trying to get with it, you know, either dressing, wearing Chinese clothes, or digging soul music, or eating tacos and stuff. So anyway, the colored brothers got together, and everything was beautiful, but we had to keep our eye out for the ghosts who lived over in that funny land across the ocean. Because the ghosts had their funny thing going. This is called You Know How It Was. Of course you know how it was. But I couldn't think of anything more fitting to commemorate this occasion
So I thought I'd run it down anyway to us. That was way, way back. You know those famous dates. But those first ships knew exactly what was happening. The heaviest mines in all of Asia had seen to that. But they didn't quite plan on meeting up again with their long-lost brothers, those who had cut out when things were bad. Now, those brothers had their own culture going and a beautiful way of being and seeing, not too different from our own. Naturally, we got together, grooved on things together, and naturally left the land and animals as they were. We knew better, remembering how some of the old folks tried to mess our homelands up. We knew better, but also knew about the ghosts across the oceans, so decided to set up defensive measures in small parts of our lands just to keep the ghosts from off our back. And things really got nice. That was the start of this new nation as we know it. People yellow, brown, black, and red going back and forth or settling, exchanging wisdom and gifts. We joined our lands together. We had so much to share with each other. So when the ghosts came crawling with their crosses to our shore, we sent them south, burdened down with their monstrosities of war, figuring to let them take out their primitive aggressions in the jungle. You know their funny books about how some Washington drowned in the Amazon with a cannon in a canoe. Or how some dude named Boone got chewed up by piranhas while wrestling a python. Those ghosts were crazy, Jack. Tried to carve their faces on a mountain and fell flat on their collective ass. And about that time, we got hip that some of our baddest brothers were settled there, really doing it up beautiful in the jungle. So we got together and tossed the ghosts back to their land of Oklahoma. You know what that means in our language. So if you still see some of them ghosts around, take pity. Help them out. It's your duty. They knew they were foolish and called us in to give them color and culture so they too could flourish. Take pity. A couple more generations and they'll be together and beautiful like the rest of us. And you know that's how it's supposed to be. History as it was. This was inspired by the death of my grandmother last year. It's a poem called Asian Brother, Asian Sister. The old adage about not missing something until it's gone, of course, happened to me, but I had some experience of being able to partially speak with my grandmother in her language. And I felt that I had to write down what had happened to her as part of history that would never be written down otherwise. As a point of explanation, I can say that the poem begins with me living in my current place, which is in many ways not dissimilar, let's say, with areas of Japan, mountains, snow, this kind of thing, and leads me to think, how would it be if we didn't come here, perhaps? And then coming back to the fact that she did come here and what she did. One of the things she did was sing songs to me when I was a child, one particular one about temples coming back. I mean, about pigeons coming back to a temple to roost. Hatapopo, hatapopo, the child's lullaby. Something else I mention is a medallion she gave me the last time I saw her that was commemorating the fact that our people had been in the country for 100 years. Asian brother, Asian sister, for Yoshiko Saito. Not yet dawn, but the neighbors have been here, bringing condolences, assurances that my pupils will be seen to. Though I am new to their village, they include me, are grateful for what I do. The teacups are rinsed. The bedding is stacked. While my wife wraps our basket, the children kneel on the tatami, fingering the beads of the rosary like an abacus. In their way, they are hushed and seem to sense the solemnity. Sa, ikimasho. A cold wind greets us. There will be snow soon in this prefecture, burnt wood, sweet fields. Not yet dawn. In one of these houses, my grandmother is rising to go to school. By 16, she was in this country, making a living, children on the way. I don't know what it cost in passage in San Joaquin. I'm beginning to understand the conditions. To get back to the source, through doors of dialects and restrictions, Brazil to the south, this blue shore on the horizon. To get back to the source, the need to leave and bring it with you. In 1912, they opened the Fresno fish store. Ika, the squid, to slither down your throat. Saba, the mackerel, to roast. Maguro, the tuna, slice it thin and raw. Kani, the crab. Awabi, the abalone. All these shipped in slick and shiny. All these to keep our seasons. All these. Grandmother never learned the language. Just a few choice phrases to take care of business. Grandfather ordered the fish. But when the nice white man bent down to her level and said, "How long you been here, Mama?" she told him, "Come today, fresh." Before the war, after the old scrape of stench and scale, she'd come to see what her new grandson could do. 9 o'clock, but you got to wake him so I can flip him in his crib. Bring him down to the store tomorrow so I can get him some manju, let him chew on an ebi. Part his hair in the middle, slick it down so I can wheel him around to the people. Listen, big baby, Mexican tunes moving around the jukeboxes. Listen, big fat, round-headed baby in white shoes. What you mean he's got small eyes? What you mean? That's how he's supposed to be. What you mean? Big, fat baby in a hood. In depths of bed, to roll to where the shore was, undulating coves and folds, drunks dancing wounded under a wounded streetlight. Then the Danish creamery screaming about its business, and we couldn't sleep. Sing me, sing me, sing me, please, about the pigeons cooing home to the temple to roost. Sing me, please. For our sweet tooth, she kept a store of canned fruit buried in the dirt beside her barracks in Arkansas. Water flopping over the furrow's edges as we entered, feet sliding on slats, a soft iceberg in the heat and steam. So you got a son in New Guinea, another at some fort. What do you do? What have you been doing? Try to keep busy and eat. And as the children leave to dicker with the enemy, try to keep busy and eat. Float around him, bump and nudge him, and try to keep busy and eat. Shuffle off to the store, 10 feet behind him, and try to keep busy and eat. And when the sons take over, try to keep busy and eat. Go in and scream about the business. Grandchildren stumbling over their own skin in the suburbs. Hubcaps and money cluttering the driveways. One day they found her flipping in the driveway like a fish. If your hip is broken, you can't ever go home roaming through Wakayama for what the war didn't own. If your hip is broken, you can't ever go to Oregon. You've got to wheel to your drawer for your Issei medallion that steamer riding a starry striped sea. If your hip is broken, you've got to give that medallion with a moan, as though you could know. My grandmother is in the beauty of release. As the heart subsides, as the blood runs its course, she is gowned and attended, chanting incantations to Buddha. I am touched by the beauty, by the peace that is the end of her life. Fluttering eyelids, the murmuring barely audible. It is goodbye. It is beautiful. I do not need to cry. As the sheet flows over in its purity, I note the smoothness of skin, the gray-blue hair echoed faintly over the lips. Then the sheet becomes a paper bag, and she slips out of that sack, off the kitchen table, and lands on her back on the linoleum, naked, moaning, the impact having stunned her into fright. And she grabs both legs of mine and bends the knees and brings me down upon her blue mouth without teeth, food beginning to swell in her belly, where I am crying and not yet born. This house, the paths become trenches to the telephone, the bathroom. This house, the scent of Orient and seven existences. This house, the bedrooms, tacked on, then sealed off as each move to the colonies. This house, 50 years in this house, lie in front of the heater and dream, flames eating the snowflake mica that shudder with color like fish scales, blue, red, dream, lie in front of this heater and knead the pus where fish fins stuck. Your dream's a fish wilting over this heater. This house, creamery and cleavers going at each other down the wintry street. Bitches and alleys, bottles and dreams. Who knew the black whore in the alley of this house, dead a week, wrapped in leaves? Tread lightly in this house. Appliances try the edge of trenches. Grandchildren balance on the shelves, tasseled offspring of another culture. This house, the basement crammed with ballast, dolls, kimonos, swords. This house that survived the war and got stoned. This house, exhausted fumes gnawing the garden on the shore. In the mist of that shore, the chrysanthemum droops and nods. This house, it drops into the freeway, and I drown. Then the doors burst open, and people come flooding in from all over the San Joaquin, come to form the procession. There was a trench to the temple. When you are in that trench, there is no room for much people. There is no room for much movement. All that you move from comes in on you. All that you do is judged upon. Trapped in the trench, I am smothered in my people, chanting in procession to the temple. And when we merge in the temple, I am 5'2", flat-faced, bent-legged, epicanthic as I will ever be. Do my eyes lie? My people see I am beautiful. Yes, I am rocked in the lap of Buddha. Yes, incense owns my clothes. Yes, I am wrapped in beads. Yes, my people, grandmother, take me in your arms. What you say, I will do. The procession continues. My grandfather migrates to my mother's house in the suburbs. Even the chrysanthemum finds new root in the suburbs. I have the medallion forever sailing on my breast, a family and the seven gods of luck in the hold. Brothers, sisters, understand this. You are in passage. Wherever you go, you are slanted down to the bone. Do your eyes lie? Brothers, sisters, understand this. You are beautiful. And your beautiful grandmother is dancing in your eyes, cooing and cooing you home to roost.
I'll conclude with a little number so you can go out into the air and be singing and carrying on and all that kind of stuff. I told some people today we were going to march up there and knock that A off that mountain, and I'm ready. You people still around, I'll check you out backstage here, and, you know, we'll go up there and do it. I'll conclude with this idea of past and present merging, perhaps, into future, and what you have here is a reuniting of these elements, exemplified by this particular person here who's coming back home, getting back down to the roots, and the roots move, and out of these roots comes some kind of movement. And specifically, it's a thing that happens to me just about every time I go home, from north, coming south to California. It's like going through different time changes and time-lapse photography, you know, because the cult, you know, the climate changes, etc. And many things happen. And one of the things that has happened in my area, and I'm sure it's happening here in wonderful downtown Tucson, is that there's a whole lot of bread being spent for some things like convention centers, in this case in Fresno. They created a mall, which is second, or it's first along with downtown Burbank. Super mall, you know what I mean. And in this case, so they're tearing down all of one side of town, tearing out homes and building super mall, you know, so a few shoppers can go there and look at some sculptures and fountains, trying to revitalize downtown when nobody gives a damn anyway. Everybody's going out to the shopping centers, right? But you take these things in perspective with, you know, your past. In this case, I was thinking about people from way back. High school, who never leave you. You're always carrying these people with you, man, carrying girls' phone numbers from 1948 and stuff. You know, that's what you got to build on, right? And in this case, seeing people who, you know, were from way back. A couple of other things I guess you'd be hip to is that where I'm from, we have all these various cultures. One of them, I guess, is still in existence around here. I saw a drawing up there at Pima College today about this Pachuco. Man, I thought Pachucos had played out in you know, 51. But it's a beautiful thing. You know, it's something that is inexplicable, man. It's just there, you know. Where does it come from? I don't know. It influenced a nation in many ways. Influenced us. You gave yourself a couple little tattoos. You know, you drew a couple things right here. If you didn't have the nerve or access to a Navy tattooer, you had to use your ballpoint pen, put a couple little tattoos. And, you know, and this was beautiful. This is what it's about, you know, this lifestyle, this joy, man, of, you know, things may be down, but, you know, you kind of got on some new Levi's and, you know, a little something in your hip pocket here and you're feeling nice, right? Just got paid. You only make $1.45. That's nice, man. You're making it. It's beautiful. You're really enjoying what you're doing. You're singing, you're dancing, and, man, you know, this is something that the country never did for many, many years. Now the young people are reviving this, you know. So this is what this is about. I'll move out here so I can move around a little bit. It's called I Told You So. You get up by Shasta in the pass, and all that air comes at you, all that breath you used comes blasting at you, hot, stale, punctured, out of a tube. I told you so, oh yes. When you left, it was numbest winter, lugging a bass on the Santa Fe. I told you so, oh yes. Coming down now, it's time-lapse photography. I told you so, oh yes. Up north, winter. Down here, things getting brown. I told you so, oh yes. That bad heat bringing it all out. I told you so, oh yes. Bugs ooze and melt like conch pomade. I told you so, oh yes. A bunch of love notes clog a culvert. I told you so, oh yes. A shoe, blunt, thick,
souls, pachucos used to blow. I told you so, oh yes. So when you get into Red Bluff, it's fuck the attendant. You got to bust out in one of them jive-ass, crook-legged, floating Fresno struts. I told you so, oh yes. You get closer and lose your family. I told you so, oh yes. They sink into the deepest back seats. I told you so, oh yes. And you're cruising around with Polly, fine young thing in daylight darkness, looking for a place to park. I told you so, oh yes. She just snuck from spiritual practice. I told you so, oh yes. You were grunting around judo school. I told you so, oh yes. Above all, there's a song to sing. Got you on my mind, feeling kinda sad and blue. I told you so, oh yes. You're in a car, you got to have a yard of your own in the vineyards after dark. I told you so, oh yes. Every flashlight finds you out going over your belongings. I told you so, oh yes. They call a clan who got a good thing going, who say you clash with the upholstery. I told you so, oh yes. Where do you go from there? I told you so, oh yes. Woodland, Sacramento, a certain sameness to the valley. I told you so, oh yes. Skid marks, viaducts, what California does to itself. I told you so, oh yes. The giant orange. I told you so, oh yes. Fresno's grown. The new business is lit for blast off. I told you so, oh yes. You get off where it tells you, west side. I told you so, oh yes. It's already blasted off by the laws of progress, by the cause of commercial parks. I told you so, oh yes. Tore out most of Wino's dark. I told you so, oh yes. You take your old name back, Chano. I told you so, oh yes. Chano, and stamp it on the back of your hand. I told you so, oh yes. You did it all over yourselves, on all the walls you knew. I told you so, oh yes. They must have told you something. I told you so, oh yes. Of course, all your friends are gone. I told you so, oh yes. A decade is more than 10 years. I told you so, oh yes. You feel them in the darkest downtown elevators, going through the changes. I told you so, oh yes. You read about them in the darkest pages. I told you so, oh yes. You hear them in the darkest car washes, swallowing, stroking in the foam and spew. I told you so, oh yes. Dusk in the blue devourers don't know you. I told you so, oh yes. Sweat folds thick juice on the shoes. I told you so, oh yes. Looking good, Jim. I told you so, oh yes. Get out, Vato. I told you so, oh yes. I mean, you know I say, I told you so, oh yes. Side pockets high, ways and means gliding down, nodding clean, neon. I told you so, oh yes. Get it! I told you so, oh yes. I mean, you got it, Jack. Orale pues, I said, vineyards thick, menudo, noodles, chopstick stem, cotton, mama, thick, dust, heavy, breeze. I mean, I told you so, oh yes. Sweat, temples, mosques, shine, parlors, gym. I mean, you got it, chambara, mariachi, funky, armpit, blues. I told you so, oh yes. Blow, blow, blow. I told you so, oh yes. But the sick council dude sirens through the west side. I told you so, oh yes. He got 1,000 holsters. I told you so, oh yes. He got 1,000 bulldozers. I told you so, oh yes. He's tore out half the west side searching for a soul. I told you so, oh yes. And took all those dredgings and created the mall. I told you so, oh yes. I told you so, oh yes. Sculpture, trees, the moonlight leaning. I told you so, oh yes. Soft water, soft fountains, the ravines of sleep. I told you so, oh yes. It's peaceful now. No traffic. Nothing. It's peaceful now. Something like the Aztecs did. It's peaceful now. And with this perfect light, it's a Japanese garden. And you're contemplating it. It's peaceful now. Seeing how man can truly overcome, can mesh his force with nature. It's peaceful now. You think of your friends in New Hampshire, in Oregon, and all you've been through. It's peaceful now. Sculpture, trees, the moonlight leaning. It's peaceful now. Sleep, sleep, peaceful one. It's peaceful now. You're home. I told you so, oh yes, I told you so, oh yes. Then dawn shows up, and there's people sleeping in the fountains, knotted up in the crooks of sculptors, children draped over playground ladybugs. Hey, what the fuck's up? There's Jerry, the whore, cut in half on the tracks. Dickie, the hair lip, cackling his laugh. Where'd they find him, finally? Tommy, the OD kid. Opalie, the cripple, his wife's knife still sticking in him. Hey, Opalie, look here, man, what's happening? Then all the brothers and sisters come out of the cracks and start tearing things down. It's mine, is it? Raise up off that brick, motherfucker. And they're blending all their separate songs into one. And they're not even concerned about all that shit in the storefronts. Hey, that's my blood in the fountain. There's a whole lot of my pomade in the fountain. That tree came out of my yard. Oh, I couldn't anika. Shit, this is my yard. And they're tearing things apart and carting them home. Even your grandmother shows up, limping, twitching, fist stuck full of fish bones. Grandma, grandma, chotomate, chotomate. They haven't tore the fish door down yet. And she won't listen. And she's tugging at a fish sculpture. And you're helping her. And there's the helicopter spraying you. And the spray makes a rainbow. And it's beautiful. And you're cracking up, Jack, saying, God damn, man, this is Fresno, baby. Where can you go from here? I told you so, oh, yes, I told you so, oh, yes, I told you so, oh, yes, I told you so. Okay, thanks very much.